Hello and welcome to Believers Family Church. We are so blessed that you've tuned in today. We are a growing church lifting up Jesus in the beautiful and historic Johnstown, New York. God has called us here to set the captives free. We pray and we believe that today's message will produce great fruit in your life. He who the Son set free is free indeed, and we call you free. Enjoy today's message.
Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And then He says, hey, let everybody that's breathing.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know, I was looking at that this morning, and I just wrote this down quick on a post-it note before we get into this message, because it's going to be a good one. We're going to be talking about obedience. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, here's what He said to me. How long can you hold your breath for? He said that to me. How long can you hold your breath for? So I said, okay, well, I don't know, different, strokes for different folks. So I tried it, and I couldn't hold that long. So He said, you know why? Because it's not yours. It's not yours. See, God breathed that into you, and you kept going until you're like, 60 years old, 70 years old. We'll stop there. But it's like, we're still breathing, aren't we? You're not even paying attention to it. You're just breathing. Taking that breath for granted. It's so precious. And He said, it's not yours, because the Bible does say, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Can you imagine that? Your 24-hour day is nothing about praise for people. Oh, I like that. So this is the hour of decision, number two. I want to take a look at Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to come down through some random verses. So I don't know if Jenna can track this or not, but I'm going to give it to you. It's verse 1 to 5, verse 10, verse 12, verse 14 to 16, and verse 20. So Father, I just thank You and praise You right now. I give You my mind, I give You my mouth, and I give You my members, that I only say what I hear You say, and I only do what I see You do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I got looking at this chapter in Joshua, and there's a lot of things in there that I can highlight and I want to put emphasis on. But I took a look at this, and then there's just something about the seventh and obedience. And right in the middle of the word obedience, now that I'm on that, is the word die. Equally apart, obedience. Right in the middle of that word, with the separation on both sides, is the word die. You know what God is saying? When we die to ourselves, we win. When we die, we win. When we die, we live. So I looked at that. I said, wow, so this is about the seventh and obedience. So starting out with verse 1, it says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof. Are you tracking me? And the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go around the city once. Thus shalt do 6 days, which is go around once, each of those days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. On the 7th day you shall encompass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, everyone straight before him. Now think about this. All this time, I was just trying to picture this. You know, it's kind of like, here's these children of Israel, can't talk. That's hard for people. You really want to do this? Joshua, walk around these. Shut up. The city, shut up. You shut up. And he's walking around these walls. Really. And nothing was going to happen until that shout. You know what God said? It wasn't the shout that brought those walls down. It was the obedience. So I looked at this over and over again. And what God was trying to get across to me when I looked at that, because that seven trumpets, the seventh day, so the seventh was still reoccurring from last week, but that word obedience. So verse 10 says this, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice. That's hard. You know why? You know how I know? Because you're singing and you're praising God during worship. Guess what you're using? Your voice. He said, nada. Nothing. Nothing. It was a test. So he said, you shall not shout. Make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then you shall shout. Now, I don't know how many people there were, but it's very hard to keep all those people quiet. Hey, shut your mouth, he said. Shut your mouth. So in other words, they couldn't be whispering to each other. They couldn't be talking. They couldn't be talking about being hungry or whatever. No, he said, if you can't obey this small thing, the big thing's not going to happen. The big thing's not going to happen. And I saw in here, I saw walls around my life. And you probably see walls around your life. But guess what? The thing that brings those walls down is not you shouting. It's you obeying. Do what God says do. Wow. Hey, I know a precious word. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. That's Bible. Just in case you didn't know. That's real word. So verse 14 says, let's look at verse 12. I didn't do that one. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the second day they compassed the city once and returned into camp. So they did 6 days, and it came to pass, verse 15, on the seventh, that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times, and it came to pass on the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout! Did you hear that? Didn't bless it, did it? That's what he said, shout. He said, for the Lord has given you the city. Now, can you imagine the discipline taking place in all that? They could have spoiled it in one split second if any two of them, how many there were, had said something to each other. What's he want us to do? That's all they had to do was utter a word. It would have canceled the whole thing. Why? Because if God says do this, that's what we do. And part of this whole thing, and I'm looking at this because it says, wow, okay, so obedience comes in here. So I'm saying, Lord, I'm trying to take the messages that we do, dovetail together with the worship that we get, and take this ministry into its next generation. And if we can't make it here, we're not going to make it there. If we can't make it here. So we have to look at things that this is God saying, I'm giving you some things that you got to do. If you can obey this little thing, guess what you can do more of? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes you minister to people, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I say, God, well, why didn't it work? The problem wasn't with you. It was with the receiver. The receiver. You don't know that. I don't know that. So verse 20 says, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass. This is verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. Now, anybody know how high that wall is? That's right. Why, too? Not a little brick wall like this one. It fell down flat. There was no earthquake either. There was no earthquake. It fell down flat. You talk the power of obedience. That's all it was. It was obedience. They did what God said do. And when we do what God says do, we die. It's in the middle of obedience. When God says, when we do what God says do, our flesh and our person dies so we can rise up and be like Him. Amen. And I'm finding out that, you know what? When the Gospel of Mark said to lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover, I'm wondering why sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Because the problem is not with the giver. It's the receiver. So if you're not a believer, get born again. Hallelujah. So it wasn't the marching, it wasn't the shout, it wasn't the seven times. It was the obedience that brought the walls of Jericho down. Can you imagine what that might have looked like after all was said and done? And somebody would go by and say, how do we get into the city? I don't know. There's no opening. The walls all came down. There had to be a pile of brick and mortar and whatever else they used. Can you imagine that? I'd like to see a video of those walls coming down in slow motion. Like, well, there actually is one, the World Trade Center. Think about it. Didn't take much. What did they do with that pile of rubble at the end? Just nothing but a big pile of steel and bricks. So if Jericho walls could come down, and then we saw that happen in 2001, I guess it's possible. So what I want to look at is, I want to make my walls come down, and they come down through obedience. Now, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 is like a dovetail that comes into this, and when I got looking at it, because I was just looking for obedience. And 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, and Samuel said, his name means heard of God. It means heard of God. Samuel, his name means heard of God. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What was the question? Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Because, he said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, that means to hear him, than the fat of rams. A truth. Of a truth, right? Of a truth. Listen. Listen, this is not so deep. It's helping me. I mean, I'm quick to listen. My wife knows how to get my attention, and I perk right up, open these ears up, listen. I listen. She's not demanding. She's just speaking. Now, if you walk away without listening, then you don't get the command. Not from my wife. Don't leave that. Just take that right into context there. All right? Now, listen. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings? Now, it must be he had delight because it's prefaced with great delight. So he's saying, has the Lord great delight? In other words, he must have delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. But does he have as great delight as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And obeying is better than the sacrifice. And to hear, hearken, to hear what he says, than the fat of rams. Hallelujah. How would you like to hear from God on a moment-by-moment basis? You can. If you shut your mind down, you will hear Him. I didn't say shut your brain down. I said shut your mind. Big difference. Big difference between your brain and your mind. Everyone, you got a brain, but I don't know where your mind is. Hallelujah. Say, faith is powerful.
Faith is powerful.
Now, we come into the book of Hebrews. And I think this is really neat, Pastor Bernie, because it's making reference all the way back to Jericho. That's way back. in Hebrews is making reference to that, because it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, by faith, everybody say faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encompassed about 7 days. Wow. I thought, wow, here Jericho makes it into the Faith Hall of Fame. It makes it in there. And I'm thinking that there's walls of Jericho that need to come down in the body of Christ. It's just walls. You know some people, you're looking right at them, talking right to them, and they didn't hear a thing you said. That's because there's a wall. There's a wall. We want to be so tight and so neat. You know, it's one body with many parts. You know, you got a choice, be the head or the tail, or be the head or the feet. Now, the feet smell. But the head has a nose, so it smells. So we got something going on here. Glory to God. So they encompassed 7 days. The obedience brought the walls down. And by faith is mentioned 13 times in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Faith is mentioned 13 times. I wonder why. Maybe the repetition wants us to realize and receive this. If I just said faith once, like faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, but you read down through Hebrews chapter 11, and I counted them, by faith, mentioned 13 times. Wow. If I had one verse of Scripture that I read to you every Sunday, and that's all I read was one verse of Scripture and kept reading it over and over and over again, I think you might walk out knowing something. And you might not even be able to quote it. Why, though? Why? Why? Because this whole thing comes together, and he said, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, so it must have been a faith factor in there. So I'm looking, and that was in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, so by faith, in that chapter 13 times. So really, here's what it says. Glory to God. Romans 10, 17. It's a quote. One verse. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Action, not having heard. Faith cometh by hearing. So how many times do we have to see a verse of Scripture and read a verse of Scripture and think that verse of Scripture and talk that verse of Scripture before we get the faith for that Scripture to know that God is the God that healeth thee and not the God that maketh thee sick?
That's right. Amen.
He doesn't make you sick so he can heal you. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So guess what he wants you to do? He wants you to be healed. It works. You know, sometimes we get so far out of faith, we talk fear right in. Oh, my aching back is killing me. Where's the faith in there? My aching back is killing me. That's all fear rooted. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Speak to that body. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, you know, Pastor, if I lay down my life for somebody, hold it. Somebody already did that. Time out. Time out. Don't feel sorry for anybody. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Well, after all, Pastor, I lay down my life for everybody, and nobody lays down their life for me. Hello. Somebody did that. No greater love than this, and one would lay down his life for his friend. Oh, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. That's good. That wasn't in there. Thank you, Lord. So you look at these scriptures and say, okay, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. And yet the Faith Hall of Fame has it in there 13 times. So there must be something about that faith factor we're supposed to be working with. Actually, fear is easy to remember. It's false emotions appearing real. F-E-A-R. False emotions appearing real. They look that real. And God says, forget the fear. Get in the faith factor. faith factor. I mean, I have fun putting this together because you get to extract what you want and put it on a different page, and then the whole story comes together. Wait to see how we end up, if we do. So I looked at this. I said, okay, the coming of the Son of Man is inevitable. You think? You know? It's inevitable, right? Love covers a multitude of sin. So guess what? We don't have to look at our sin. We look at Christ. And we look at this, and I went back to, this is Matthew 24, verse 36 to 39. The coming of the Son of Man is inevitable because of what this verse is saying. Now listen to this. But of that day and hour knows no man, right? We don't know when he's coming. No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. This is Jesus talking. The day and the hour knows no man. So we don't know when he's coming. So guess what? We need to keep our life upright. We really do. And if you're born again, you can do that. You're going to miss the mark? Yes. Are you covered? Yes. Yes. That's not a license to sin. It's a license just to turn away from it and walk toward Jesus. Hallelujah. So verse 37 says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. That's okay to do that, right? Marrying and giving in marriage. That's okay. Until that day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. So in other words, what he's saying is, don't be a partier, be a prayer. Be a child of God. And you know, it's kind of like, I like the babies, because the babies that come in here, they come in into this world, but they're not sinners because they don't even know what it is. Now, we watch them grow up. So guess what? When we receive Christ, we're babies, aren't we? We stumble, we fall. But guess what? We don't spank them. Why did you fall? Because they can't walk. Oh, well, it's easier. They can just fall down and drop and sit on their bottom. But guess what? They're going to make mistakes, aren't they? They're going to do things that you're going to say, no, don't do that. They're not going to know what no, don't do that is. So God says that we come into this world as sinners, but Jesus Christ's blood covers us and his faith covers us to the point where we're going to miss the mark. But guess what? The Bible says that you just take another way. Right? I didn't do a 180. It's called repent. Turn away. I say, God, I am so sorry. And guess what? He knows it. The music tells us that. So now I'm going to go back 120 years. And I'm going to start all over. But now we're looking at a different ark, because this part here, now some scriptures say that it took Noah 120 years to build the ark, but there's no evidence of that. It was just time. But then this is what the Holy Spirit said for the New Testament church. We're the ark. We're the ark. This is a safe place. So what Paul wrote to the Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 25, bringing this down to a close, it's not about gathering, it's about assembling. Now, I had two pictures that I was going to put in here, but and I didn't have a chance to get them up there. But what would you rather have, a pile of lumber or a house? So guess what? The gathering of the lumber is just a pile of wood. But when you build a house, it's assembled. So what would you rather have? He said, don't forsake assembling. You are the church. There should be cross-culture love. that we can tolerate each other's personality. Type 1 all the way to type 100. We can. We should be able to do that, you know. We're believers, you know. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's too much evidence that covers that. So anyway, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So my wife was doing a little bit of exhortation this morning. Exhort one another. That's not a bad thing. Exhort one another. The local church is the place of security and salvation in these last days. I call it the ark. The place of security. Don't you feel secure when you come in here? I mean, when I come through the doors here and I'm just looking around and watching people talk with each other and watching the worship team get ready and the people back there on the tech-savvy side, and I'm looking, I'm just standing here and saying, you know, God, I said, this is working really good. I said, this is flowing really good. It's peaceful here. Nobody's laying on the floor fighting with each other and wrestling and stuff like that. Are you guys just joking around or are you doing the real deal? And they get up and they're both like bleeding noses and stuff like that. I said, I think that was the real deal. Yeah. So much the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. It says the local church, the ark, the local church is the place of security and salvation in these last days. Yes?
Yes.
I know people that are friends of mine and they're not in that safe place. They don't have that security and salvation. They're lost. They're out there. The best thing you could do for yourself is to stay locked and hooked in to the local fellowship body that you belong to. Just stay put, because that day's approaching. But if we're together in this ark, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. The local church is the vehicle by which God will bring us into his covenant that he promised for all those who hear his voice. You know that God's a covenant maker, not a covenant breaker. The local church is the vehicle. This place right here is the vehicle by which God will bring us into his covenant that he promised for all who hear his voice. Wow. You know what? If they only had listened to Noah, there wouldn't have been no ark washed away.
That's right.
And it didn't rain. That water came up from the ground. Wow. The ark housed the Word of God. The ark. You know what was inside the ark that they were pushing? The Word of God. The tablets. The ark housed the Word of God. Wow. Thank you, Lord. See deeper, see deeper. He said in Matthew 24 also that love is growing cold. You see that around you somewhat? Love is growing cold? Not you, but around you. Because this is what it says. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's Matthew 24:12. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So guess what? If people don't stay in fellowship and people don't stay surrounded by other believers where love is, that's our accusation. That's what they called us. We know why people go to Believers Fellowship Center, because they love everybody. So, isn't that a good thing? But the fruit of the Spirit is, when I saw that in there, I said, wow. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Didn't say everybody. Wow. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Timothy picked up on this. This also know. Now this is way past the Gospels. This is in the epistles now. This know also, are you with me? That in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. This is pretty good preaching, you know. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, without self-control, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, headstrong, arrogant, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Did y'all see that there? The last days. When is that? Now. If you don't see this out there now, I mean, this is black and white, all these things. And this is way back when Timothy wrote this. So we're in the last days. He said, in the last days, well, we got perilous times. We got men lovers of themselves. We got all the things mentioned in there. And having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, what he's saying, disconnect. Guess what? You're clean, right? You're washed, showered. Hair's fixed, nice. You go outside, somebody picks up a big mud pie and throws it at you. From such, turn away. If someone's intent is to make clean dirty of such, turn away. Because you won't make them good. They're going to make you dirty. Yeah, they will. If you don't know it, come and walk through my neighborhood for just an hour. It gets louder at night. Oh, yeah, right, Jim? Oh, okay, I got a witness. So a form of godliness, I've got the closing coming up here. Form of godliness, wow, the definition of that is a form of godliness. They believe in God from a distance. Oh, I believe in God. But do you believe Him? I believe in God, but do you believe Him? In a form of godliness, I mean, they're just trying. They got some sort of shape. Or they believe in God from a distance. So in other words, there's a lot of people like that. Oh, I believe that there's a God. No, there's not a God. There's God. He's not a God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Wrong translation said, and the Word was a God. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Not a God. Got that? A God would be a stone statue or something that they bow down to worship that can't give them anything. That's a God. Yeah. Form of godliness, they believe in God from a distance. Denying the power, no respect for His power, nor desire for the things of God. That's that last verse, number 5, is having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Timothy would write that. I guess he must have experienced some big time stuff, but those two lines there, the form of godliness and denying its power, I'm saying, God, I don't know anybody like that. He said, yes, you do. I said, yes, I do. Who? But you know what? It's anyone that believes in God from a distance. God is saying, I didn't call you to go to church. I called you to be the church. If somebody says to you, where do you go to church? Just say, I don't. I am the church. I'm not Christ. I'm the church. Ecclesia. Church is ecclesia. Called out ones. That's who you are sitting here today. Any one of you could take a verse of scripture and look at it, pick it apart, dissect it, and produce something that no one else has seen in that verse of scripture. Why? Because they weren't seeking, they were just reading. And this is so profound. Now look at this. I write this myself. I go back. I save all these. I got all these notes that go way back to the beginning of this church. Every one of them is in an album. Since the day we started here, except they were handwritten, now they're all computer written. But this is profound because I save those and I look back, and sometimes I have used a message from 20 years ago that probably you didn't remember, and I gave it to you exactly the same way it was, and it's still alive. Still alive, it's the living word. Okay, hallelujah. So this is the last title, and this is coming into a closure here, because you need this is like something that God has put an assignment on us for. And he says it's the imminent coming of the Lord. You know that? Are you familiar with what that definition is, imminent? Short version, occurring at any moment. The coming of the Lord could occur at any moment. And my question to me is, what will he find me doing? You know, I was listening to a couple of good Bible teachers on TV, and one of the favorite ones, because he's in his mid-80s, is Dr. Charles Stanley. He is so line upon line, but he's forthful, he's truthful. And when they pan the congregation, they are sitting there so astute and with their face just fixed on him. I wonder why. Maybe because they're listening and taking this in. And he supplied notes for all of his messages. Why? I think maybe because he wants us to get it. He's good. Jesse the Plants, on the other hand, he kind of like sweetens it up a little bit and throws it at you, and then he comes out and be serious with you. Pastor Bruni, I tell you, he's a blessing. You think? Because that's his... that's his personality. It's his style. I mean, I just think it's great. But you know, I got looking at this last verse of scripture. I said, wow. And this is really where it's at. This is the grand finale. The coming of the Lord could occur at any moment. And that's what this is saying. So Paul writes this one to the Thessalonican church in chapter 4. Verse 13 to 18. We'll just go down through here. Y'all doing okay? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, that's usins, which we are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. So in other words, we will not go, the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know that, right? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Now, think about this. Amen. Think about this. There's a cemetery at the top of the hill where we live, Prospect Hill Cemetery, right? And some of those stones are really deteriorating old, almost losing all the things that are written on them. But what this is saying is the dead in Christ shall rise, then we all go together. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise, then we all go together. Get that? We who are remain. So what he's saying is, which shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know what we got to do as a church? We got to have more and more people come together in your home and talk scripture. You don't need to know a whole lot. You could do just what we just did here. Take a verse of scripture. So what'd you get out of that? You know what? That's the church coming together like they did in the book of Acts. 3,000 got saved. 5,000 got saved. All because they assembled together and just share the word of God. Amen? Give them praise, church.
Thank you for listening today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our services. We are located at 150 South Comrie Avenue in Johnstown, New York. Our services are Sunday morning at 9 and Tuesday evening at 7. For more information about our services and all about what we believe, please go to our website at www.believersfamilychurch.org. That's www.believersfamilychurch.org. Come and worship Jesus together with us at BFC. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.